Barb Lawrence. I'm the grants coordinator in the Department of Finance and Procurement with Loudoun County Government. Thank you all for joining us. With me is Megan Cox, who is the manager of our division. She will be monitoring the chat and helping to address any questions that you might have. So again, welcome to the FY26 Nonprofit Human Service Grants Application Kickoff and Overview. As you're logging on, like I mentioned, please feel free or please put your name and your organization in the chat so we have access to who is in attendance today. And I will also put in the chat the link to the application form. Let's see. Second to do that. Megan, are you able to put the link in the form in the chat?
Or the yes, will
It's
do.
not coming up for me as a
Yep,
link.
no problem. I'll get it.
Thank you. So on the webpage, you'll find the link to the application manual. The manual has a lot of information that's pertinent to the application process, but also has suggestions. It lays out the application questions. There's a frequently asked questions section of there. There's some tips to writing a sound application. So I really encourage everybody to take the time to read the application manual. Also on the webpage, you'll find the link to the application, and we'll be going through that later in the presentation. So the Human Service Nonprofit Grant purpose is to strengthen the county's coordination with our nonprofit partners and to ensure that local tax dollars are leveraged in the most effective manner for services that assist vulnerable and disadvantaged individuals in our community. Loudoun County prioritizes investment in high. Loudoun County prioritizes investment in high quality human services that provide documented positive outcomes for Loudoun County residents. The application has four priority areas. So any organization that's interested in applying to receive funds from the county must provide a program or service impacting one or more of the areas of need. So we have prevention and self-sufficiency, and these are services that are focused on assisting individuals and families in becoming and/or remaining independent and stable, and provide tools, skills, strategies, and resources to individuals and families. The crisis intervention and diversion. This includes services provided to individuals and families in crisis to overcome immediate problems and reduce or prevent further penetration to more restrictive and expensive higher level services. Long-term support includes services that focus on assisting individuals who are continuing long-term support needs to remain healthy, safe, and independent in our community. And improve quality of human services. These services include opportunities provided to individuals, organizations, and communities that enhance the quality, accessibility, accountability, and coordination of services provided by community organizations. The FY26 eligibility criteria, similar to what we have had in the past, you must be a nonprofit certified as a 501c3 by the IRS, have a mission that is consistent with serving the county's areas of need that we just spoke about, be in good standing with a Virginia State Corporation at the time of submission of the application. Show proof of financial stability by providing at least 3 years of IRS 990 forms and other financial documentation. not funded through any other source using local tax dollars, such as contracts with the County Health and Human Service Department, including core service agreements and regional org funding. Of note, for FY26 only, organizations may choose to apply for funding under both the core service RFP process and this human service nonprofit process. The exception ensures that your organization does not miss a funding opportunity. Organizations will not be awarded funding through both processes, however, due to the timing of the applications and awards. Organizations with a successful proposal for the RFP process and award through the HSNP grant process would need to forfeit the HSNP award unless preferring to forfeit the RFP contract. So just a little bit further, this process, the HSNP, the Human Service Nonprofit, is a grant process. Organizations will be who get funding under this opportunity will be required to sign a memorandum of understanding with the county. Organizations who apply through and are awarded a contract through a procurement process, through the RFP process, again, it's a contractual relationship, so a little bit different. And again, this is the year that you're able to apply under both, but would have to choose which one. In addition, to be considered for funding, applicants must demonstrate the following criteria: be able to present a documented data-driven need for the organization's program or service, show demonstrated outcomes for the program or service, show that the program or services provide a direct benefit to Loudoun residents, demonstrate that the program or service enhances the quality of life for Loudoun County residents, show documented efforts by the organization to secure funding from other sources, demonstrate that the organization has administrative resources to administer funds and to implement and oversee the program or service. Again, agree to sign a memorandum of understanding. Show that the funding requested is realistic given the service level and the organization does not rely predominantly on county grant funds. Lastly, subject to limited exceptions, Virginia law prohibits localities from appropriating public funds to organizations controlled in whole or in part by churches. So county grants may not be used for any religious purpose or activity. This opportunity has two funding options. It's a standard application process for organizations wishing to apply for $5,000 in one, up to and not exceeding $113,000, and a mini grant process that includes a simplified application for an organization applying for a smaller grant of $5,000 or less. Both application processes are competitive. The standard grant has more in-depth questions and also has, upon award, greater reporting requirements. For the standard application process, organizations will be awarded proportional funding, while those organizations applying for a mini grant will be awarded the full amount requested. There are funding limits and restrictions. Each award, again, will be limited to no more than $113,000 under that standard application. And this helps to ensure that the county retains capacity to make multiple awards across all areas of need. The amount of funding requested should be clearly presented and explained and should be consistently tied to the need described throughout the application. County funding can be used to fund costs that are required to run an organization. While there are no restrictions on the amount of grant funds that applicants can apply towards funding these operating expenses, funds requested should align with the county goal of investing in high-quality human services that meet the needs of our residents. The final approved funding amount for organizations will be based on a combination of factors: the total amount of funds available, the total amount of awarded requests, the application score, and a review of reasonability of proposed budget items and cost of services. The ratio of county funding to the organization's overall operating budget will be carefully considered to ensure a healthy mix that does not rely predominantly on county grant funds. The Board of Supervisors has advised a funding allocation to be applied to all awards, with a proportion of the requested amount awarded based on the application score. And I just want to note and emphasize that meeting all eligibility criteria and having a score of that 75% criteria or more does not guarantee your organization funding. There are some changes to our FY26 application process. This year, we have extended the deadline to January 3rd of 2025, which this increases the application window to 9 weeks. We've added some clarifying language in the questions in the manual. You'll notice that these changes, this clarifying language is all noted in blue. So take a look for that. And then this year, we have added a past performance criteria that will be reviewed by staff and incorporated into the review process. And the part of the past performance as reasonable steward of taxpayer funds, Loudoun County ensures public funds utilized in this grant making and other funding opportunities incorporate mechanisms both in the application review and reporting processes to ensure efficient and effective use of public funding. One factor in this process is to examine past performance. Evaluation of past project performance is one of three parts in the grant application review process, which include the grant application review for the application content, the financial review, and now the third part is that performance evaluation. The performance evaluation is designed to support decision-making based on an organization's past performance during previous funding cycles. The evaluation form will be provided to at least one of the organization's previous funders, and they will be asked to respond to prompts based on the organization's performance with past funds. The evaluation form will be made available to the recipient of the grant during the grant award recommendations. There's an overall organization past performance evaluation that's worth 12 points that evaluates if the organization meets or exceeds expectations, which would be a 12 point or 12 points. Two does not meet expectations, which would be zero. In addition to a reporting and administrative evaluation, worth 8 points that asks the following questions. How well did the organization track their demographic, program evaluation, and expenditure data, and overall use of funds in accordance with requirements within the last 3 years or in the last year? Describe the accuracy and timeliness of the recipient's invoices. How well did the organization respond to requests from grant managers? And the last, were any past grants awarded to the organization put on a corrective action plan? If so, was it remediated? So those four questions there provided additional 8 points. So that's part, that's the most significant change, I would say, to our FY26 process.
And Barb, we do have a question in the chat.
Okay.
What will the time requirement on average be for the questionnaire to be sent to previous funders? Meaning, how long will a grant officer need to spend answering the questions posed?
We hope not long. It's a pretty quick, there's, like I said, two parts. The first part is meets or exceeds. We have it broken down from, I believe it's 8 to 10 points, and then broken down to the 0 points. So it's just a matter of looking at that. And then just answering those four questions that I'd mentioned, which is worth 8 points. So overall, it's 20 points, I would say, in going through it, 10 or 15 minutes, maybe a little bit longer if they don't know your organization that well, or even quicker if they do. Any other questions regarding that?
None for now.
Okay. Here's a little history of our application process back to 2019. We see a continuous growth up through 2023, a little slight decline in the last 2 years. Last year, we had 52 applications, 12 mini grants. We had 8 new applicants with a total request last year of $3.3 million. And we ended up allocating over $2.8 million. So here's just a trend of the application history. Here's a trend of our funding history of our allocations from the board of directors. We have grown from a little over $1 million in 2019 to, like last year I mentioned, it was 2.8, and the projected for 2026 is 2.9 million, which is about a 3% increase from 2025.
And may I just add something quickly, Barb?
Absolutely.
With the two sets of trends that Barb just shared, these do go to the Board of Supervisors so that they are also able to analyze the funding. In previous years, as with this year, please be realistic with your requests, given the amount of need and the cost of services. So this is something that we take very seriously and do provide to the Board of Supervisors. So it helps with being realistic about the needs in the community.
Thank you. Here's our application timeline. The application was released last Friday, November 1st. We're here today for the information session. We have a deadline for applicant questions of November 29th. After that, we will combine all the questions into a frequently asked question, and those will be posted on the website. Again, the grant application is due at 4 p.m. on January 3rd. The review process happens January, February, and a little bit into March. Recommendations will be presented to the Finance Committee in April and to the full board meeting in April. Award notifications in May. Funding will start July and go through, July 1st through June 30th of 2026. Again, this is the landing page for the application where you can find all the application information. That is the link to that. It's also been put in the chat. And again, as last year, the application contains a cover form, a grant application form that has 4 sections to it that we'll review shortly, and the budget form. We'll start with our first section, our statement of needs is the first section of the application. And again, I suggest that you refer back to the grant manual that details the questions. It has the review criteria. It also has the requirements, the attachment requirements listed there as well. So the purpose of the needs statement is to present both facts and stories to support the needs for your project or program. It's really the heart of your program. It's really the time that you tell us your story. Prior to writing a needs statement, your organization should understand what the problem is and its nature, reasons, and causes. The needs statement should define why the problem is important, not only to you as an applicant, but of interest to the county. Compelling needs make for compelling projects worthy of funding. With this section, we have the demographic table. It's the same table that we've used in the past. We're asking organizations to complete this table with as much information as you have available. And again, all of the required attachments, you'll be able to download them from the application itself in AmpliFund and then complete them on your computer and then re-upload them into the application. The next section is the project description and timeline. Standard grant, this is worth 20 points, the mini grant, 8 points. So once you've shared your need, tell the reviewer how it will be fulfilled. What is your proposed solution to the need? What is the service approach? If you utilize any evidence-based programs, please indicate what they are. Don't assume the reviewer knows your organization. Be as detailed and specific as possible, but very concise. And here I want to note that we've had a new required attachment that's been added to this section. It's called the impact comparison from prior fiscal years compared to the current fiscal year goals. The purpose of this template is to provide application reviewers and county staff with your organization's past evaluation results showing the impact of the program for the most recent 3 years of data. Each year, provide results showing the impact of your program. If you are past grantee, you can use the evaluation data from the final report you provided to the county over the past 3 years. If you are a first-time applicant, compile your historical data to match what you are proposing your outcomes in the evaluation. Then provide an annual total for those outcomes. This will allow the reviewer to compare the planned outputs and outcomes and budget requests for the upcoming year, as shown in the outcomes and evaluation table and budget.
We do have a question, Barb.
Okay.
Our project is new to Loudoun County in fiscal year 25, so we do not have impact comparisons. Should we include our statewide impact?
That would be helpful. Any data that you can show. Also, it's important that you show how have you determined that need. If you have seen a need and you're coming new into the county, what made that determination? What is that data? Show that data that shows that you've discovered a need that needs to be fulfilled.
And we have two more questions. Is the most recent 3 years for this new attachment considered the county's fiscal year 24? Is the most three recent years considered fiscal year 24, 23, 22 for the county, or is it calendar year? I think is the question.
So if you have been a Loudoun County grantee for the past 3 years, I would use those 3 years. So yes, it would be the complete year. So we're still in the middle of FY25. So showing 24, 23, 22.
A couple of additional questions. How do we split the awarded amount by each program metric for each year?
I would look at your past budgets. How were your budgets broken down? To show how it mirrored with your evaluation, your outcome and evaluation.
Okay. One more question. Could you please speak to whom you consider vulnerable and disadvantaged individuals? Would veterans be considered part of these groups?
Yes, I would consider veterans a vulnerable group.
And those are all the questions for now.
Okay. Next, we have your organization background, qualifications, and expertise. This section should tell reviewers how your organization has the capacity to carry out the project that you've listed in Section B in the previous section of the application. Here we have a board, staff and board table that needs to be completed. And I want to note on this that a question has been added to the staff and board table. And the question is, does your organization have any staffing vacancies? And if so, what impacts have vacancy had to your program? It's a yes and no question that will have a drop down and then a room for you to explain if indeed you do have vacancies. So here it's telling us who's involved in the program, who's helping you fulfill the mission, the vision of your program. The next section is the evaluation and sustainability. Again, this ties back to your program description and timeline, and it tells the reviewer what you expect to result from the program. And again, here we have our outcome and evaluation plan that you'll complete for fiscal year 26 that lays out those things that you want to accomplish. And also with this is our grants, contracts, and MOUs, where we're asking you to provide current contracts that you have, grants that you have, as well as any MOUs that you have. The last section of the application is the budget and supporting financial documentation. Overall, it's 25 points. The line item budget itself is worth 10 points. The line item budget will be completed within AmpliFund. And I just want to note that you need to complete your budget for the dollar amounts that you're requesting. So if your overall project budget is $350,000 and you're requesting $100,000 from the county, your budget should reflect that $100,000. I want to add that within the manual, there's detailed descriptions on what personnel employee costs could include, fringe benefits, consultants, contractuals. It lists out definitions for each of those line items that are available within the budget. This is a listing of the financial documents and supporting documents that are required. So it's a most recent audit in previous 2 years. If you do indeed have an audit, 22, 23, 24, and year-to-date 2025 financial statements, your current year operating budget, 21, 22, 23, 990 forms, the IRS letter of determination, and then as mentioned earlier, your certificate of good standing with the Virginia SCC. And again, I want to iterate that you must be current and in good standing with the SCC at time of application.
Barb, we do have a question.
Okay.
Our organization is small and relatively new. We've won only one grant a few months ago and won't have feedback from this funder by January 3rd. How should we address this in past performance?
I would certainly explain that in as much detail as you can for the reviewer, because we will look if certain documents are missing or aren't completed, you do get scored lower for that. But provide as much detail if you've had any issues with any reporting requirements. Explain any that you might have had, but just be as detailed as you possibly can with your current relationship with your grantee.
All right, we do have one more question. We are looking at collaborating with a couple of other groups on a project. Do you accept applications from collaborating groups? If so, what does that application look like? For example, a main grantee and subgrantees or something different?
We've never had that happen before. We appreciate and look for collaborations. I think we would have to address that upon recommendations, exactly how we would do your memorandum of understanding and then other requirements that the county would expect you to require for any subgrantee. And Megan, feel free to add anything.
I would also just state that we typically provide grants to what would be considered a prime applicant versus subs. So as Barb was stating, one organization would have to apply and receive funds and then likely disperse to additional subgrantees if that's the way you want to structure your project. There would likely be additional MOUs that would need to be considered as part of your project as the prime. We would want to see the MOUs or help to support the MOUs for subgrantees.
Thank you, Megan. Any other questions regarding that?
None in the chat.
Okay. With that, I am going to move into the application. So here is the landing page for the funding opportunity. It gives some details about the areas of need. And then here are the links to the application, to the process manual. I want to note that the process manual has been remediated. So that's in there for that. We've also listed a PDF that shows all the changes for FY26. And then the required attachments you can also find here. They will be in AmpliFund when you open the application, but we have them here for you as well. There's some nonprofit professional development resources that the county has done in previous years that you can have access to, and then the process timeline. So there's where you can find all the information. I'm going to click into the application here, and we're going to walk through some key areas of note for the application process. So once you click on to the form, you'll come to this page, and you'll hit apply. With that, I have I'm registered. So I'm just going to go in under my current registration. If you are not registered, you would just click the register button to be able to set up your system. You can mute your line, so I'd appreciate it. Thank you. You would register and then still be able to apply. So I'm just going to log in. Here, the window pops up again, but you'll see here that I'm logged in under my name. And you hit the apply button again. So I've already have an application open. I'm just going to click on that and we'll hope it works. Here we go. So the first page, it lists all the opportunity details. It lists a link to the application again. So any of the opportunity details can be listed here. You'll also be able to find these in the manual that's provided. All of these upon submission will need to be checked, but we'll move to the project information. Here is just some basic information about you and your organization. Here, the most critical page is the application forms. And you'll see we have a standard application, the mini grant, and then we have a post-application survey. So if you're applying for the mini grant or for the standard grant, we'll start with the standard grant. If you're applying for the standard grant, I suggest you first go into the mini grant application. Are you applying for the mini grant of $5,000 or less? You would click no, because you've already decided you're going to apply for the standard grant. From there, you need to scroll down to the bottom. You can click save or mark as complete. You're going to mark that complete. It'll let you know that that form is complete. You'll click on the application forms again. You'll see here that the mini grant is complete. Now you'll go into the standard grant application form. Are you applying for the standard application of $5,000 to $113,000? Yes, I am. So when you click yes here, you'll see that all of the application questions populate underneath and are the questions that you have to answer.
And Barb, we do have a question about the registration. Can multiple people from my organization register for the application?
Yes. Yes, you can have multiple people in there. So when you register, you would just add them to it. There are different roles, but you can have people be in a review role. You can have other people be able to go in and submit or be able to edit. So yes, you can have multiple people from your organization.
And that is when you sign up for your organization for the first time. If you come back as a, you know, already registered organization, you can make those changes also, correct?
Okay. Yes, you can make changes. You can remove people. You can add people. Yes, you can make those changes.
Okay. Thank you.
So once you complete all of your standard application, all of this would be done. I suggest, I encourage that you save often. You can mark some, but you will see as we go back to the application, it's in progress. So I haven't completed yet. I've saved what I've done. Once I'm done with the application, you would go to the bottom and you would mark it as complete. It's not going to work for me because I haven't filled out any information. But once you mark it as complete, you still will be able to edit the application. But when you go to the forms, it will show complete, similar to the mini grant application. So you would have to do the opposite if indeed you're applying for the mini grant. I would suggest going into the standard grant first, saying, no, I'm not applying for the standard grant, and then mark it as complete, and then go into the mini grant application, mark yes, the questions will populate, you complete it, save often, when done, mark as complete. There's also a required post-application survey that it too also needs to be completed and marked as complete when done. So I can just quickly show this and you can see that it will mark as complete. We'll mark it as complete. The form was successfully completed. We'll go to the application forms. You'll see here that it's complete. Any question on how to apply for either the standard grant or the mini grant?
None in the chat.
Okay. From there, we would move to the budget. As you can see, the budget has several different line items that you would apply under. I will note that in the project information, I'll go back right here, the amount requested. So if you put $100,000 here and you go to your budget will need to match and it will come up as an error. If you put in $113,000, it'll come up as an error. So you would have to find some place to take away $13,000. Or go back to the project information and change that number. So within each of these expense budget categories, you would click on the plus button. For personnel, you would mark which one it is. You can name it. So you might name it as Barb's salary. We can put that there. You can put your direct cost, would go here. And the narrative would need to be provided. The narrative section is a required part of the budget information. Here's where you would say it's 10% of Barb's one FTE that she is going to be providing X, Y, and Z services to help the project be successful. I encourage you to be as clear, as concise, within your narratives of your budget items. So whether it's 10% of time, whether it's 5 cents per every flyer that you're going to make, whether it's 15 miles at 67 cents per mile, that you be as descriptive as possible. Once this is created, you can hit create and it'll show up here that Barb's salary, $5,000, you can still go in and edit, or if you decide you're going to do somebody else's salary, you can go in and delete it. So each of these line items are similar. As far as how to complete them. Again, the award, here it is, must on the project information page. So it must match. I'll just save it and continue. Here it's telling me that it's not marked complete. You'll get error messages where you'll be able to go back and complete them. So once they're completed, these will all be check marks. So before I kind of go in and show you what a submission looks like, what that looks like, I'm going to move back to my PowerPoint. But are there any questions on the application or AmpliFund?
There is one question.
Okay.
Our director who wrote last year's grant is no longer with us. Is there a way to receive the full grant application online as it was written for fiscal year 25?
Do you have access to the AmpliFund, your organization's AmpliFund registration?
And the person who asked this question, if you want to just unmute yourself in the top right-hand corner of your screen.
Yes, I have my own registration that I signed up, but are you asking if I have her registration? Or?
Yeah, the person who filed it, are you part of that registration? Because the application would be in that registration. So you could either access it as being part of that registration. So I'm assuming you're not part of that registration.
Well,
Yeah,
I didn't realize, so I signed up, I registered again. I do have the login, though.
So you should be able to get the application should be under your registration if you have that login.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep. Any other
questions? And we do have one additional question.
Okay.
Is payroll tax considered fringe?
Megan, can you help with that one?
Yeah, so typically payroll tax is not considered fringe. Fringe is usually something that is subject to income tax. So FICA or your additional pre-tax benefits. So payroll tax would not be considered fringe.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No, not at this time.
Okay, so I'm going to move out of this. I'm going to go back to my slides. Here's what it'll look like. When you submit, all of the boxes will be checked. Again, I encourage you to save your work often. But then you would just go in. So again, it's submitted. If indeed you have any errors when you go in to submit, it will tell you your budget has errors that require your attention. So you would go back into that budget section, see what those errors are, and then be able to submit. And again, just a reminder to complete that survey at the end to get your feedback. So the review process, the review committee comprises of four contracted subject matter experts from KPMG who attend a required grants review training. The committee evaluates the applications based on the information submitted in the application, including services provided, demonstration of need, impact, and other financial indicators. All reviewers' scores are compiled for a final average score. Scores are converted to percentages and are ranked from highest to lowest. Organizations are funded again based on the percent of total points possible and amount of total funding budgeted. Mini grants meeting the scoring threshold will be funded at their full request. Once scores are available, applicants will be ranked from highest to lowest, and the funding amount will be determined. Recommendations for funding decisions will then be made to the Finance Committee in April and to the full board meeting the same month, April 2025. Following approval from the Board of Supervisors, applicants will be informed of our funding decisions. And again, as previously mentioned, meeting all eligibility criteria and having a score of 75% or more does not guarantee your organization funding.
And we do have a question in the chat.
Okay.
Are all reviewers reading full applications or are questions reviewed in isolation?
Reviewers read the full application. So the four reviewers, there's three reviewers that read the application itself, all applications, all questions. The fourth reviewer only does the financial review. So each application will be reviewed by three subject matter experts.
And just to clarify, the financial review are the tax documents.
Correct.
And I do want to clarify the previous question about fringe. So payroll tax, when you're thinking about fringe benefits, the payroll tax is actually included in a total compensation package. So that would be considered part of the compensation for the individual staff person. Fringe would be something that is the tax, you know, they could be taxed post, I say pre-tax, post-tax, so post-tax, but fringe is part of the total compensation package, payroll tax is considered part of the total compensation package. So I just wanted to make that clear that you can include payroll tax as part of the person's or the position's total compensation package. Fringe would be something like mileage driven or additional health savings account or things like that. That would be considered fringe the way we're looking at it. And then one more question. For the financial reviews, is this the tax documents only or tax documents and budget?
Tax documents. They go through and there's a separate review. We have a template that the reviewer completes. For those of you who have been past recipients or past applicants, we have provided that financial review with you. So it's the same that we've done in the past. So it's just a review going through all of your financial statements, audits, 990s.
So basically, the financial review is reviewing the health of your organization, not the budget for which you're requesting funds from the county.
And the budget will be reviewed, just to be clear, by those three individuals who are reading your application. So it's really important that your request matches, aligns with your program evaluation and outcomes and your budget. So it all needs to align with each other. So the reviewers are looking at the application as a whole, from your programmatic descriptions, your need description, to now why you need the money.
Okay, we do have another question in the chat. For the impact comparison form, are there 3 years, for instance, fiscal year 24, 23, 22, confirming that this is not the current grant cycle year of fiscal year 25?
Correct. We'd like to look at a full year. So going back to, I think we said FY 24, 23, and 22.
Okay, that's all we have in the chat.
Okay. Just to reiterate, the online application is due Friday, January 3rd by 4 p.m. I will say the system does shut it down. So if you're trying to hit that button at 4:01, it it won't work. It will not be submitted. Questions need to be submitted by November 29th. They can be submitted to nonprofits at loudoun.gov. We will reply to your questions as soon as we can, but note that they will also be included on one document that we'll provide to all applicants to have access to after the 29th. And again, the awards will be recommended to the board in the second meeting in April. With that, do we have any other questions?
And at this point, if there are questions for the chat, please go ahead and enter them. If I don't see any questions in the next 30 seconds, what we can do is go ahead and unmute lines and take questions that are maybe more complex to be written out. So are there any other more simple questions for the chat?
Yes, my name is Paul, and the last name is K-O-T-E-I. I am representing Commission World Outreach Church Ministry. And the question I want to ask is that this is our first time. I mean, we've been feeding the community for almost like 8 to 9 years. But this is our first time of even hearing about this grant or things. So, and because of financial restraints, we have only one person on board. So if we are applying for this grant, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah. If we have to apply for this grant, whereby recently, right now, it's only one person that is working and all other people are volunteering their services. How do we go about it?
That's a great question.
I would recommend board of directors pulling in people from your board to help assist with writing the grants and pulling things together, and or other volunteers that you might have that are providing some support who know your organization. I think those would be two areas to which I would look for assistance in writing a grant.
Okay. Number two, also, when we're talking about the volunteers, we are using Loudicare as our volunteers and also some people that are coming from the church. So how do we go about it too?
That I'm not sure how your volunteer structure is set up. If there's a contact person that you could get in touch with to see if there are volunteers available who have the time to do that. So I would reach out to those contact people that you get your volunteers through.
Okay, thank you.
And Paul, if you do have more questions about the process, please don't hesitate to email. We are happy to answer questions offline as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. I think that will really help us because, I mean, we are new in the system. I mean, we've been doing the thing, but we are new about all this grant and things that we're hearing about. So, I mean, it will be grateful if we can have even any help or any idea or whatever. We will send you a request, and if we have to even show up in person or whatever it is, we will do that. Thank you.
Yes, definitely email us, and we can make sure that we can help you with your requests as a new applicant.
Okay, is it Barbara?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I think that I have an idea about Barbara. I think.
Okay.
Fantastic. Also there was another person that you asked us to contact. I can't remember offhand, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful to you guys.
Yes, I will put the I will put the email in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And please, our whole team actually reviews the emails and then moves them to the appropriate person. So please don't hesitate to email and we can set up some time.
Thank you.
We do have another question in the chat. On the question regarding program characteristics, now requiring comparison to other organization, how much detail is required?
As much detail as you can provide. We've had this question as part of the application process in the past. So we're just looking for you. How do you set yourself aside from like organizations? Really, it's just another way of distinguishing yourself from others that might be doing like work in our county.
And so the next comment is, it's a 100-word suggestion.
So as we've said throughout, be as detailed as possible and concise. These word suggestions are just that. You will see in the application process that, you know, if something's worth 12 points, we're going to ask for a little bit more detail. And so the word suggestion is a little bit more. So it's just a matter of being as thorough and concise as possible, but really getting that information across to the reviewer.
And I would also suggest, you know your organization, and essentially what we're looking for is for organizations to, there are only four buckets in the areas of need. So within your area of need, what makes the most compelling argument for your organization? What's the thing that really says, we do good work because you all do good work? What sets you apart in your areas of need? Is there something different about your organization? Is there an accomplishment that you've had? Is there an award that you've received as an organization? So thinking about that in relation to the area of need. And remember, the 100-word suggestions are just suggestions. Yeah. If you go above 100 words, the system will not cut it off at 100 words. And please, if there are more complex questions, you can unmute your line and ask your questions.
And if there are no further questions, I thank you all for your time today. Feel free, as Megan mentioned, to reach out to that nonprofits@loudoun.gov email address. I will answer your questions as quickly as I can. So you can have that response as you're working on your application. And like I said, again, after the 29th, all questions will be posted to the website. Thank you all. Have a great rest of the day and weekend.
Thank you, everyone.